to the Word. So would you stand to your feet with me as we begin with the opening passage? It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it reads this way. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. We ask, O God, that you would speak to our hearts today and that you would reveal your perfect will to us. Lord, we thank you that you are doing great and mighty things. And we commit this time to you. I commit myself to you, Lord, as your servant. Would you use me to speak your truth of your word today? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be reseated. It could just be me, but it feels like there's a little bit of a ring to the microphone, just FYI. So last week we talked about the supremacy of Christ as the head of the church. We are the body of Christ, and he is the head of the body, the church. We talked about the importance of being under authority. We talked about how that when you are not under authority, you're powerless. We talked about those who resist authority and how the Bible describes these individuals as foolish or rebellious. We talked about the difference between the two. We were able to see that God has called his church, his body, to be a power-filled church. We were able to see that there is a purpose for the power. We are empowered to be his witnesses, and we are empowered to be his disciples, making disciples. We talked about how there are two requirements for living under authority and empowered by the Holy Spirit. One is to live life fully surrendered to the supremacy of Christ. Another way of saying that is to love God with all that you are. And the second is that we are called to live in harmony with his body. Love one another. We were reminded that the trap that the enemy uses to render you powerless is the trap of offense. When we hold on to offenses and we choose unforgiveness, we find ourselves separated from the body of Christ and unable to experience the fullness of his blessing and power in our lives. There's a breakdown in relationship. If we are to live in the fullness of God's favor and blessing for our lives, we must live in unity with Christ by living in unity with his body, our brothers and sisters, the church. We were challenged to make a list of those who have offended us, to pray for them daily for 7 days. We were to proclaim blessings, we were to proclaim in a prayer of faith that we forgive them for what they have done to us. And at the end of those 7 days, we were to look for a way to bless them as a sign that we release them of their offenses. Did you do your homework? Don't raise your hand. Why is it so important to live your life under authority? Do you know how freeing it is not to be the one in charge? The weight of that responsibility is too heavy for you to carry. You're not in charge, and therefore you're not responsible for the outcome. Hello? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." Do you realize how freeing that is? All I have to do is to trust God by following His instructions, and I will be blessed. I will be blessed. You know what's even more freeing? Whenever I get it wrong, I have an opportunity to correct course. Setbacks are never permanent. Somebody needs to hear that today. Setbacks are never permanent. They're simply an opportunity for me to learn to trust God more and to grow in faith. This is called amazing grace. Amazing grace. Can we just take a moment to thank God for His amazing grace? Thank you, Lord. I was just talking to a friend this last week about how God has been so good and faithful in my life. Before I became a pastor, I've always served in ministry, but for the most of my life, I served by vocation, which means that I had to have a full-time job to support family and to care for family while still serving in the church, serving in the body of Christ. And so I had gone through different jobs at different times to just continue to support the family. And at one point, I began to do something that I had never done before, and that was to run a construction company for someone else. And I had never thought that that was something that I would do. I didn't think that that was, that had never crossed my path, but I'd always been in management. And so as I began to do this, I went through several years of this, and then a series of events occurred that brought me into an opportunity to have my own business, to start my own business. And I remember the way that it was so radically done, I just understood, this is God. There's no way around it. There's no two ways to look at this. This is God. This is the hand of God. This is the direction of God. But I was just absolutely terrified of the thought of being the one in charge and responsible for all of that weight. And I remember having a conversation with God, and I said, "Lord, if this is what you want, and if this is what the provision is that you're bringing, you're going to have to carry this. I am not going to carry the weight of this responsibility because I can't do it on my own." And I have to tell you that He has been faithful. He has been faithful every single year. He has been faithful. And I watched how He brought provision like you couldn't even begin to imagine. And I was telling my friend, I said, I didn't promote the business. I didn't go out and knock on doors. And then I had to correct myself. I did knock on two or three doors at one point. And those companies didn't ever call me. The business that I began to receive were just word of mouth. People just calling me out of the blue. Hey, I heard that you're doing this. And I'm like, how did you hear? Well, a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. And I'm going, how did this happen? And so God has miraculously led every step of the way. And if I could begin to share with you, it would take a really long time to even begin to scratch the surface of how miraculous all of this has been. But I continue to give God the glory I give God the glory. Every day, I do my part by living with honesty and integrity. And every day, God does his part. I seek to be a good steward of all that he has given me, but he is the one who provides and blesses. And that is the case for each and every one of us. Here's the truth. God will not give you more than you are prepared to handle. Stop trying to get more. Start working on yourself more. Men, love your wives. Honor her. Honor your wife. Lead your family. Get your wife and kids to church. Put God first. Honor him on the first day of the week by coming to church. Put him first by giving the first 10% of your income to God. Take the time on your day off to get the family together, read the Bible, and pray as a family. Whenever your schedule allows, make family meals a priority. Turn all the devices off. Sit down at the table. Have a conversation. Listen to your kids. Talk to your wife in front of them so that they can see how loving adults interact. Take time to play with your kids. Whenever possible, show up to their games and to their functions. Be present. Let them know that they can come to you when they have problems. And you're not going to judge them. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to be willing to listen and to pray together. We all have the same Father who has all the answers. Amen? Ladies, listen to what I'm about to say. Husbands, take your wife out to eat or to do something at least once a month. Can I get the ladies to say amen? Surprise her with a gift every now and then. Look into her eyes and use your words to praise her without touching her. Let her know that she is more to you than just a wife and mother. Let her know that you value her as a person and that you enjoy her friendship. The key to success and power and blessing is you. But it's not your strength. It's not your ability. It's about doing things God's way. And that starts with a relationship with him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and he will direct your path. How do you do that? Do you drive to work? Put on some worship music. I'm giving you some practical application here. Put on some worship music. Use that time to talk to God. In the evening, 30 minutes before you go to bed, get your Bible out, read a couple of Psalms and a proverb. You know, there are 31 proverbs, and there's 30 or 31 days in a month, depending. Maybe 20, what's February? Or 29 on a, yeah. So, just a proverb a day. The corresponding proverb with the corresponding day. But read it with the intent of receiving something. Take the time to write out a prayer or a thought in your journal. Let that be the last thing on your mind as you go to sleep. You know, when I'm talking about these things, they're not difficult. They're not difficult things. They just require us being intentional with our time. Make some adjustments to your schedule, to your budget. Prioritize what is important. Listen to me. Success does not come from a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It comes from consistency in the little things. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5 says that good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts leads to poverty. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21 says, his Lord said to him, this is a parable that Jesus spoke, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant, you were faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I'm sure that you've heard of somebody who has won the lottery only to return to poverty within a few short years. And I'm sure that you've also heard the story of the people who had absolutely nothing, but in a few short years were able to work until they became a millionaire. The difference between the two is found in the daily decisions that they have made. God wants us to be successful. Listen to me. God wants us to be successful. He wants us to be wealthy. Yes, I said that. He wants us to be wealthy. God wants to bless you more than you could ever imagine. But he is not going to give you more than you can handle. Proverbs 13:22, the wealth of the sinners is stored up for who? For the righteous. What is that word? The first word? The what? The wealth of the sinners is stored up for the righteous. Some of you guys are going, wait a minute, what? I'm going to say it again. God is the source of your blessing. He is the source of your provision. Stop pursuing the provision. Start preparing yourself to receive the blessing. He wants to bless you. But can he trust you? Can he trust you? What are you doing with what he has given you? The blessing is not for you. The blessing is for the body of Christ. As a member of the body of Christ, you are called to be a steward of the gift of grace that he has given to you. Now let's go back to this concept of the body of Christ. In order to live a life filled with power and authority, I must live yielded to Christ's power and under his authority. The way that I do this is by loving him with all that I am. And the way that I love him is by loving my brothers and sisters in Christ. And the way that I love my brothers and sisters in Christ is by living in harmony. Say harmony. Living in harmony with them. It sounded simple until we got to that part, right? The way that I'm able to live in harmony with my brothers and sisters is by extending grace and forgiveness, so that I do not carry an offense. and by fulfilling my purpose as I serve in the place of grace, say in the place of grace, that he has given me within the body. Next week, we're going to be talking about the place of your place of grace, and so don't miss that. But this week, I want to continue to focus on the unity and living free of offenses. There's a huge difference. There's a huge difference between loving someone and living in an abusive relationship. If someone is constantly hurting you, you need to leave them. Just saying. Now, I'm not talking about you being offended because someone is telling you the truth. Hello? I'm not talking about the pain of conviction or the growing pains that come with you being challenged or confronted. How many of you know that we need people in our lives that make us better? We need people in our lives that make us better. Proverbs 27:17 is iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. We all need that healthy friction in our lives. Some in smaller doses than others. When I talk about removing people from our lives, I'm talking about those who will pull you down. I'm talking about the constant negative drain. I'm talking about people who pull you into sin. I'm talking about people who are a bad influence on you. The people who are your kryptonite, if you will. So what is sin? The Hebrew word literally translates as an offense. An offense. There are people in our lives who offend us who should not continue to be in our lives. Okay, we'll go to the scripture so you can see. So you can believe me. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? How about Acts chapter 15, verse 37 through 40? It says, now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. All of us have seasons in our lives. This is so important for us to understand. All of us have seasons in our lives. Some people are meant to walk with us through different seasons. God brings people to us and brings us into other people's lives for times of refreshing and encouragement and as co-laborers for a common vision or purpose. At times, God will lead people to us, and at other times, God will lead people away from us. The point is that it's never about us. It is always about fulfilling a greater purpose. I have often described relationships in this way. Each of us is on a path. At times, our paths intersect. At times, our paths are joined. At times, our paths may separate. But if each of us is committed to following God, He will direct our paths. On our faith journey through life, There are always people that we are following. There are people that walk alongside us. And there are people who are following us. Along the journey, who those people are may change. But these groups should always exist in our lives. Don't be possessive of others. I'm going to say it again. Don't be possessive of others. Don't try to control others. Stop holding on to people that God is leading away from you. Don't be exclusive. Don't reject those who God is bringing into your life. If you will learn to simply appreciate and value and honor those around you, you will find that God's favor and blessing is with you. There's power in community. The more you stop trying to control others, the less you will be offended. The more you stop trying to control others, the less you will be offended. Often, an offense is the result of an unmet expectation. If we could learn to appreciate people for who they are in our lives, we would experience a new level of peace and harmony. Remember what the scripture says. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. There's a blessing of abundant life for those who learn to live in unity. When we learn to live in harmony with one another, there is a blessing. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Jesus came to unite us as one body so that we could experience the blessing of abundant life. Too often we experience sickness and turmoil. Too often we go through life wounded and hurting. Too often we are simply existing because we are not living in unity. We are offended, and so we isolate ourselves from others. Or even worse, we slander others because they hurt us. They didn't meet our expectation. They didn't treat us the way we expected them to treat us. So we take matters into our own hands. Stop fighting people. Stop quarreling. Stop hurting others. Stop carrying an offense. Learn to extend grace. Learn to forgive. Learn to love as Jesus loved. And learn to let people go. Learn to let people go. Stop trying to hold on to a season in your life that has ended. And don't get mad or offended when God leads someone away from you or leads you away from others. Commit your way to the Lord, and He will direct your path. Will you choose to trust Jesus? Will you let Him lead? Will you live in love and under authority, under authority. If you will do these things, I promise that you will begin to walk in greater power and blessing. How many of you know God knows best? Amen? God knows best. His ways are better. Paul and Barnabas experienced this. Paul was being led one direction, Barnabas was being led another. As they parted ways, God brought others into each of their lives to walk with them for the next chapter of their journey. Stop fighting God. He knows what you need and who you need. Trust Him. He knows best. We good? There's one last point that I want to make before we close today. And it's found in the book of Mark, chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Mark, chapter 9. It's verse 42 through 47. Mark chapter 9, verse 42 through 47. Jesus is speaking here. And it is recorded that this was part of the Sermon on the Mount. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell. Does that sound kind of grotesque? It sounds a little bit. We're called to love everybody. Let's make this really clear. We are called to love everybody. But there are some people that you were never meant to walk with. They're like kryptonite in your life. Every time you are around them, you hurt them or they hurt you. You offend them or they offend you. They pull you down. Stop trying to make things work that were never meant to be. I just wish that they would love me. I wish they would love me the way that I love them. I just wish that they would care for me the way that I care for them. If only we could be friends. If only they would appreciate me. Please hear me today. You are not called to everyone. You cannot reach everyone. There are people that you can reach that I could never reach. There are people that I can reach that you're not called to reach. I might be part of your circle, and I might be part of their circle. But that doesn't mean that your circle and their circle should be connected. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm talking in some kind of a strange Seinfeld description of weird things. The heart and the feet are a part of the same body, yes? They keep each other healthy and strong, right? But the two never meet. If they ever met, they would damage each other. It would be detrimental to their health and well-being. They are a part of the same body. They care for each other, but they are worlds apart. some people are a negative influence on you. Every time you are around them, you start slipping back into your old ways of talking, your old ways of thinking. You find yourself compromising your beliefs, crossing your boundaries. When you are with them, you say things you shouldn't. You think things that you shouldn't. You do things that you shouldn't. I don't care if it is a brother or sister in Christ. The people that negatively impact your life should be avoided at all costs. The Bible says, flee temptation. Run from it. Run from it. Pastor Josh, these people are my friends. I'm the only positive influence that they have. I'm trying to disciple them. I'm trying to bring them closer to Jesus. Let me let you in on a little secret. It's not working. It's not working. You're not discipling them. They are the ones that are discipling you. You're not helping them. You're actually hindering them from getting the help that they need. If your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. It sounds really grotesque, but Jesus is actually saying that there are some people that you should not associate with. Cut it off. Get it out of your life. Don't keep yourself in a bad situation and try to justify it. Do not compromise your relationship with God and with the body of Christ, His church, because you refuse to remove the cancer in your life that is killing you from the inside out. Cut it off. Let it go. Don't miss heaven because of an offense. Don't miss out on the blessing that God has because you were not in unity and in harmony with His body. Some of us live in offense because the company we keep is compromising our character. We are out of place, and we are not fulfilling our function in the body of Christ because we are trying to control people and we're trying to control God. We have no authority because we are not under authority. When we are not under authority, everything offends us. Because we are out of order. We're not in unity, and as a result, we are missing out on the blessing of God. As I'm closing, I'm going to ask, would you just take a few minutes to let God examine your heart? Take a few minutes. If you're just there, you just want to close your eyes, or if you just want to meditate, if you have something that you want to write with, just let God talk to you in this moment. What is keeping you from experiencing the fullness of God's favor and blessing in your life? Are you putting God first in your everyday life? Is He first in your family? Is He first in your marriage? Is He first in your finances? Do you start out your day with Him? Do you end your day with Him? Does He have first place in your heart? What about your relationships? Are you living in unity? Do you harbor unforgiveness? Are you trying to control your relationships Are you offended because people leave you? Are you trying to hold on to someone who is only meant for a season in your life? Are you rejecting new relationships that God is bringing into your life? Are you offended because your expectations of others is not being met? Are you trying to walk with people that you aren't meant to be with? Are you trying to force relationships? Are you trying to look up to people that you should be walking with? Are you following people that you are supposed to lead? Have you allowed toxic people in your life? Is it time to amputate in order to save the rest of your body? You don't have to do this alone. If you will learn to trust the Lord with your life and commit your way to Him, He will direct your path. He will guide your every step. If there's anyone within this room or within the sound of my voice that would say, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I'm not in relationship with Jesus. I've never asked Him to be the Lord of my life. I've never received Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to give you an opportunity today. He wants to give you the direction that you need. He wants to be able to guide your every step. He wants to empower you and bless you. But you must come into relationship, into right relationship with the Savior. The Bible declares, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This might be something that you did many years ago, but you know that you've walked away from faith and you walked away from God. I want to encourage you today. Come back to Jesus. Come back to relationship. Come home. And let Him take over. Let Him guide your every step. Let Him fill your life with purpose and with peace. Let Him begin to guide every step of your life and lead you into the right relationships that will bring healing and will bring peace and will bring blessing into your life. But let Him do it. Will you yield to Him today? If that is you in this room or in the sound of my voice watching online with us today, and you say, I want to give my life to Jesus, or I want to recommit my life to Jesus. If that is you today, would you just raise your hand right where you are? Nobody's looking around. Would you just lift your hand right where you are and let me know? I see those hands. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's just go to the Lord right now in prayer. Would you just say this with me? Say, dear Jesus, everybody in the room, say, dear Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I surrender myself fully to you. Take control of me. Guide my every step. Forgive me of my sins. I receive your grace. I receive your forgiveness. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I commit my life to you. I commit myself to you. And I receive you as my Father. And I thank you that you receive me as your child. I give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord a praise for that? Would you stand to your feet? I want to pray over you, each and every one of you. As the prayer team is coming to the front, if you need prayer today, if you want prayer today, if you made that decision today and you want somebody to continue to pray with you, or if you have another need or something that's going on in your life that you need somebody to agree with you in prayer, don't leave today without getting prayer. If you're watching online and you need prayer, be sure to let us know. We want to connect with you in prayer in this way. Now, Lord, Lord, you see our heart. You see each and every need in this place. You see every heart in this place, Lord, and you know where we are in our lives. Lord, it's so easy for us to get offended. It is so easy for us to get hurt. It's so easy for us to fall into the trap of unforgiveness. But Lord, you want to lead us into a place of unity with you and with our brothers and sisters, because you want to pour out your abundant blessings. So, Lord, I ask that you would help us. Help us to surrender those offenses. Help us to guard our heart. Help us to hear your truth today and look to follow you, Lord. That we would not put expectations on people that we shouldn't put expectations on. That we wouldn't try to be close to people that you have called us to walk away from. That we wouldn't push people away that you're bringing into our lives. That we would honor you in our relationships. That we would put you first and allow you to bless us. Lord, I just symbolically pray right now, Lord, for every single person in this room, that you would give us the strength, the will, the courage, the tenacity, Lord, the desire and the passion and the commitment to commit our ways to you, to trust you with all that we are, to do things your way, to put ourselves under your authority so that we may receive your favor and your blessing. Lord, we thank you that you're doing a healing work. You're healing hearts even now. You're healing relationships even now. And you're revealing to us your truth about what you've called for us to do even now. I thank you for this, and I thank you for the sovereign work of your Holy Spirit. We declare all of these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. May God's people say, now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you, and may he give you his peace. May you receive that peace, and may you walk in the fullness of God's favor, love, peace, and blessing. In Jesus' name.